So the main topic we're going to do today is Nemanus HaRofe. Let's quickly go through some of this if I'm at the end of our simon, but I want to do this relatively quickly so we leave enough time to talk about the broader issue. So I think we got up to Sif Yud. We're in Kuf Pei Zayin Sif Yud. So the Shulchan Aruch says, basically, discusses over here, two unusual situations of Ramach Mas Tashmish. So, Aro Adam, Bishas Tashmish, Mishas Tashmish, Shainis, Kisha Titayr, Mihu, Mechosh Chayshina Mechada Zimna, Achariyasa, Kigon, Im Rasa Pam Achas, O Pamayim, Bilel. Now there's a question over here of the Girsa. Is it Bilel Sheni Shel Tvilasa or Bilel Shel Tvilasa? Kishetagia Tvila Acheres Tzricha Lifrosh Lel Gan Sheni or Lel Shel Tvilasa. Beintach Lifrosh Lel Sheni Shel Tzil Shlishis Bichol Midi Delo Kava Veses Lo Chayshinan Alachada Zimna. So the first case we're talking about here is a woman who sees Lel Tvilasa or Lel Sheni Shel Tvilasa. And that's the first part of the Mechaber and also the first, the beginning of the Ramah. And then the second thing we're going to talk about, which we'll get to in a couple minutes, is Isha Sharasa Machmas Tashmish after Leda. That's the long Ramah over here. And we'll see that there are going to be certain times where we are willing to attribute the bleeding to trauma from the Leda. And therefore, it would not make her a Roa Machmas Tashmish when we do it. And when we don't do that, that's the second part of the Sif. So now the first part. So the Mechaber over here writes that if she sees, let's say, the first night after, she goes to the mikvah, the night of the mikvah, she's with her husband, she sees Dam. So the next time she goes to the mikvah, that first night, she may not be together. This seems to be like a Veses She'ena Kavua. So even though we know before that a woman does not become Asura Machmas Tashmish unless it happens three times, that's for an Isser Li'olam. But she's Choshesh just once. And what this seems to be is a type of Morkav Dika Veses, meaning to say it's Morkav Leil Tvilasa plus Tashmish. So therefore, if we change one of those two factors, like saying to her, don't have Tashmish until the second night, so then it's going to be okay. Fine. But then we say, but the next, so on January 1st, she sees Dam, Machmas Tashmish, the night she gets back from the mikvah. So then she goes to the mikvah. She comes back, I don't know, January 15th. And now, you know, she wants to make fun January 15th. We said, okay, don't have Tashmish, wait till January 16th. Good. Let's say everything's okay. Then, so a month later, February 15th, she goes to the mikvah again. And she could have Tashmish that night, the night she comes back from the mikvah. Now, the problem is, if we're dealing with Vestos, so normally, in order to break a Veses, even a Veses Shenu Kavua, you have to contradict the Veses, meaning to say you would have to have had Tashmish the night of the mikvah without seeing Dam. But that didn't happen because on January 15th, right, the middle time she went to the mikvah, she didn't have Tashmish the night she went to the mikvah. So we're breaking a Veses without a contradiction to the Veses, which seems to violate the rules of Vestos. So that's the big problem with this halacha. So if you learn like Rabbi Willig, and this is also, if you remember, the Shita of Rav Buchwald in the footnotes to the Ravid. So this is actually very good. Remember, they had a theory, a diuk from the Ravid, that Vesa Shenu Kavua could only aser once. A Vesa Shenu Kavua can never create an iser more than once. So therefore, that's exactly what we're saying over here. The Ves Hashenu Kavua of Morkav Leil Tvilasa plus Tashmish was asered the next time she went to the mikvah, but not the following time. So if you all agree, well, this is a geshmak halacha. Chavos Das, which is cited over here in Pesachei Tshuva Mem Gimel, does not hold on that theory. So he's very troubled by this. He says, how could you break the vessels? And he says, Al Korchenu, we're talking about a case of Avra Veshemsha Pamachas Bilel Tvilas. In other words, essentially what he's saying is, if she sees once Dam during Tashmish, on, let's say, the night after she came to the mikvah, then for the rest of her life, she is going to be a surah the night of the mikvah, because it's a vesa sheno kavua, which remains in force until violated at least one time. And therefore, she's going to be a surah forever, unless once she violates the halacha, she has tashmish lel tfilasa, and nothing happens, then it would be mutter. That's the way the Chavos Das says it. L'chaora, we would also say that in terms of chodesh, let's say she sees once dam during tashmish on the 15th of the month, then for the rest of her life, she can't have tashmish on the 15th of the month. If she once violated that and had tashmish on the 15th of the month and didn't see dam, so then she would subsequently be muteres. But basically, it's going to be also. And this is actually, I believe, the Shechah Sassel Shitasa from Sivikov Pei Tess. And I think many poskim disagree with this. So is there another option? So the Sidrei Tara, yeah. Yeah. Yes, it's a dochak. Certainly it's a dochak in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Yes, though I think that we already saw in Ra'a Machmas Tashmish that we don't always apply Lo Yechote Niskar, where the result would be a Isser Liolam. So you could have said Lo Yechote Niskar, but as I said, we already found out, the Ramah said, for example, even if a woman is Asura because of Da Machmas Tashmish three times, and she went ahead and she had Bia and nothing happened, she would be Mutares. And we don't apply Lo Yechote Niskar in this case. So I don't think that's a problem. But in terms of the Dochak and the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, that it should have mentioned that, I agree. That is a big Dochak and the Lashon. Sidrei Tara says that they weren't gozer in the Vesa Sheino Kavua, Lassar of Saliolam for Lel Tzvu Lassar, the like. Sounds that way also from the Taz of Katan Tazayin. In other words, it's not quite Rabbi Willard said is in the sense as broad of a position, but even though Vesa Sheino Kavua normally will be Usser until broken, however, where that would create an Isser Liolam, we don't say that. The Sidrei Tara also points out here that maybe this isn't actually a Vesas Morkov, Lel Tvila plus Tashmish. We're tolet entirely on Lel Tvila. In other words, we say, oh, maybe the Lel Tvila is the cause. And therefore, if the next time she doesn't see Dam on Lel Tvilasa, then she has in fact broken the Vesas. So it's not a Morkov like we're assuming until now. Maybe it's just Lel Tvilasa. Okay, so that's what the Mechaber says. Continues the Ramah, Hagavim Rasa Gimel Pamim, Kol Pam Bevia Rishona, Shachar Tvilasa, Asur Labayla, Kiilu Rasa Gimel Pamim Ritzufim. So she goes ahead and she sees three times on Lel Tvila. She's Asur Labayla, Laolam, and he uses this lesson of Kiilu Rasa Gimel Pamim Ritzufim. Shaharei, Yefshar La Litva, Lusham Eshimo. In other words, since she has a Morkav Vesas, for Achar Tvila, so therefore she's a Asur Liolam. Sharehi Roa Kopam Achar Tvila. She has a Veses that the first time she has Tashmish after Tvila, she is going to see Dam. And therefore, there's no possible way for ever to have Bia Behatcher. That's what the Ramah writes. Now the question is, what does he mean? So the Taz's understanding over here is actually, we're not talking here about where it was consecutive, because then he wouldn't say Kilu Rasa Shlosha Pamim Ritzufim. It was actually Rasa Shlosha Pamim Ritzufim. So what happened? Then you have to assume that there was a Bia B'Isser somewhere in between. So she saw Dam the first time after her Tvila. Then that happened a second time. Then she had Tashmish Be'isser without having gone to the mikvah, not saw dam. And then she went to the mikvah again and she saw dam first time after Tefillah. So that's what the Rambam is saying, that even though normally to create a Roa Machmas Tashmish, you need three consecutive times, since she has a Veses Kavua, that the first time she has Tashmish after Tevilah, she sees Dam, so therefore she's effectively a Surah Liolam. And that's a Chumrah. This is, I think, the way the Kresu Plesi, the Chavustas, understand this din as well. And again, there's a Chumrah over here. What's the Chumrah? Because we're basically making her a Surah Liolam based off of a Veses. And whoever heard of this Veses of first time after Tevilah? In other words, this doesn't clearly fall into all the categories of Vestos that we have from Simen Kuf Pei Tes. Which Veses is this exactly? I guess it's sort of like a Kvitza or Shum or what? Not so clear. Nevertheless, we are convinced sufficiently by this pattern to make her a Surah Liolam. Now, the Shach seems to disagree. Now, this is going to depend a little bit on your Girsa in the Shach. In the old printings of the Shulchan Aruch, and even in my printing of the Shulchan Aruch, which isn't that old, it says as follows. It says basically, there's actually no real Chiddush in this Rambam. It was three times consecutive. And the Achronim, like the Chavustah cited in Pesachei Tshuva Mem Dalet, point out that why did the Shach not learn like the Rambam? Because he would, I mean, not learn like the Taz, because he disagreed with the Taz. In other words, in the Taz's case, she wouldn't be a Surah, because we don't make her a Roa Machmas Tashmish unless the three times are consecutive. So then there isn't really much of a Chiddush here, because it was three times in a row. Well, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush might be that even though, let's say, it was three times in a row on Leil Tevilasa, now she didn't follow the Halacha. If you followed the halacha after you saw once Leil Tevilasa, the second time you wouldn't do it Leil Tevilasa. But she didn't know. So three times in a row, Leil Tevilasa. So you could have said, oh, well, she should be mutaris, not on Leil Tevilasa. In other words, this is a morkav. And therefore, we would matir her because we would see this as a veses and sort of like some of the interpretations of the Mieshla Veses Tola Bevesta. So we could make her mutaris. So Mashmalan, no, since it's three consecutive times and we don't really accept Leil Tevilasa as a veses, so therefore, she's a surah. So that's the Shach's interpretation. However, if you have some of the newer printings of Shulchan Aruch, they write in the footnotes in the Maduras Friedman that the Shach later corrected himself and basically went back to the Taz's interpretation. So there is actually no machlokas between the Shach and the Taz at the end of the day. And in fact, if you look later on in that giant Nekudas Kasef, he refers to this correction. So it's clear that he changed his mind. And therefore, in the end of the day, there is no machlokas, it would seem, between the Shach and the Taz. Okay. Then, in the Hemshech of the Ramah, we have basically four dinim coming from Rabbi Yochanan, Moreno Rabbi Yochanan, quoted in Hagosh Aridura. And these are kulas in terms of Roa Machmas Tashmish, where we attribute the dam that is seen after Leda as coming from the trauma of the Leda, and therefore she wouldn't become Asura. Now, what's clear is that we don't normally make this assumption, but when there's evidence to this assumption, even if the evidence was only gathered through violation of the halacha, maybe through ignorance, but still violation, so then we do attribute it. So it sometimes does happen that Leda caused makos, but we don't normally assume that. However, there's a huge machlokas between the Shach and the Taz over here, and I think we're going to skip the bloody details and turn to Sif Yud Aleph. So Sif Yud Aleph, we have a situation of a Veses Morkov that's not Kavua, like Rasa Machmas Tashmish Pamachas, and then half a year later, she sees again during Tashmish. I shouldn't say Machmas Tashmish. We don't know if it's Machmas Tashmish. She sees them during Tashmish on Echad Tishrei, and then I don't know what, 6 months after Tishrei, Nisan, Nachad Nisan, she sees again. Okay, she didn't know that, she didn't follow the Mishnah Berurah about Tashmish on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, good. So now she sees Echad Tishrei, Echad Nisan. So what do we say? 6 months later, so that would be Echad Tishrei again, she can't have Tashmish But that's it. So presumably, this would be similar to Isan Sif Yud. Any two times she sees Dam during Tashmish, they would create a Veses for that Haflaga. Right? If she sees Dam Tashmish today, and 5 years earlier, you know, I don't know, count in days, 7,422 days ago, she also saw during Tashmish. So then in 7,422 days, she will not be able to have Tashmish that night. That's, I think, what would come out from this din. In other words, we have a Veses She'eno Kavua created by the Dam that's seen during Tashmish at two intervals. Nevertheless, after you wait that 6 months or 7,400 days or whatever it is, then she's mutaris. In other words, it doesn't create the 6 month Veses for the end of her rest of her life. Here too, we have the same discussion as last time. The Chavos Das thinks that it will last, and the Shulchan Aruch says it doesn't. And fine, that's the same discussion from Sif Yud, though it's here, it's a little easier because it's a Morkav. I mean, it's a Haflagah. Okay, then we talk about a Veses Morkav Kavua, like three times in a row during Tashmish, with, let's say, a gap of a month or 2 months or whatever it is, or let's easier one is Rosh Chodesh. If she sees during Tash, you know, Tesvav, 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 Dam on Rosh Chodesh, then she's a Surah Li'olam on Tesvav. And here, what's interesting is you could only be Oker it with three Akiros, right? In other words, with which would be Aser, but if you did it by Aser, it would require three Akiros to Oker it, not one. And that makes a lot of sense according to the Ape Ravervi, which we saw earlier, that we treat this as a regular Veses and require three Akiros. If you remember, though, the Shach disagreed. The Shach said one contradiction, like either Bias Isser or Shvafaris, is enough to get rid of a Veses due to Tashmish. So you have to say that Morkov is different, maybe because since it's a Morkov with Zman, it makes it seem like it's more of a regular thing, more like a regular Veses as opposed to a Choli. And or something like that. Presumably, to be okay, you need Avra Vashimsha three times. That's what the Graz and the Tzotz Shlamim says. Though conceivably, you could have argued that just like any Eino Kavua's Nekar, even though you didn't have Tashmish and you didn't see, though for that type of Akira, you need three times. If you don't hold like the Chavos Das, you could have said that. So that brings us back to that discussion of Kav Beites. All right, Sif Yud Beis. We have Ramach Mas Tashmish three times, so it's Asr Lashosa, even though you're not planning to have Tashmish anymore. It's based off of the Rambam. The Chavos Das wonders, maybe, why do you have to divorce her? Maybe, why couldn't she wait to have a refuah? And the Achronim answer, in Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. So since there's a Vadai Yisr Yichud now, the possibility of a refuah isn't enough to allow them to stay married. And we'll talk about refuah in the coming se'ifim. Okay, Sif Yud Gimel, if you're bola sabasula, even many times, and she sees during Tashmish, we assume it's dam besulim, not that she'll be mutaris, but that she wouldn't become a muhsekis of Ramach Mas Tashmish, and there's an arichos here. Okay, fine. So let's turn to the general discussion, the main topic of today's shir, which is Nemanos HaRofim. And we're going to talk about two different questions, and it's important not to confuse these two questions. The first question we're going to discuss is Nemanos in general of refuah, meaning to say not where the particular doctor doesn't have a credibility. There's no credibility issue with the doctor. Let's even imagine the doctor who says this is a Erlich from doctor. We have no Nemanos issues with the particular doctor. Our question is about the ne'emanos of refuah. In other words, if the medical sciences tell me X, can I assume that X is true? Or do I have to be suspicious maybe X is not true? That's going to be our first question. And then our second question is, what do you do where the doctor lacks ne'emanos? In other words, somebody goes to a doctor who wouldn't have halachic credibility, like a non-firm doctor or a non-Jewish doctor, and they say something, they say, oh, there's a maka over here. Can we believe them? Right? So those are two separate questions. So we're going to start with the first question. So the first question is addressed over here. Simon Kuf Pei Zayin and the Beis Yosef Sefchat. And the Beis Yosef first quotes the basically two schools of thought as to whether we believe Rofim in general. The first is the Ritzvah, who basically says that doctors are believed. And the second is the Smag, and he is Misupak, if there's Manus, even for Refuah. In other words, even if it's a Rofe Yisrael, so we're not Choshesh that he's lying, but we still have a Shaila about the Namanus of a Rofe in general. So Smag's view, the application, for example, is this woman is Mechsekes as a Rav Machmas Tashmish, and then she goes to doctors, a firm doctor, and the firm doctor says, oh, you're cured. So do we allow her to remain married to her husband? Smag says, maybe not. Is that because generally there's no Nemanus Rofim, or is that local to here? Because Chazal already paskened that you're Muchzekes, and therefore the Rofe over here isn't Neman. Though that isn't so Pashut, because Lamaisa, we know that there is the possibility of Refuah. The Gemara in our story, Gemara cites a story of a woman who was Nisrapes through being scared. So it's not like we think that Refuah is impossible, even though she's Mosakas. So these two opinions are cited in the Shulchan Aruch, Sifchas. So let's take a quick look. In Tirtzel Israpos, Tzarech Shet Yiyah Kodem Shet Tischazek. Avel Acha Shet Tischazek, Yesh Mestapkim Imutter Lismoch Al Harof Uwa. So this is the view of the Smag. L'shamish Acharkach. V'yesh Mishamatir. That was the view of the Ritzvah. Im Amar LaRofe Yisrael. In other words, we're dealing here with Chachmas HaRefuah, not this particular Rofe. So the Ritzvah is Mekel. If a Jewish doctor says she's been cured. Im Tira Ishash, fine. So that is the debate. This debate, L'chaira, if you look, by the way, at the Gro over here, it sounds more like he accepts the view of the Ritzvah. Now, if this question has already been debated, we'll see both by the Achronim, the Rishonim, and maybe even in the Gemara. The most relevant source in the Gemara for this question is on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah over there says that Hamapeles, Kamin Klipa, Kamin Sa'ara, Kamin Afar, Kamin Yavchushia, Nadumim, Tatil Amaimim, Nimuchu Tmeya, Vimlav Tehora. The Gemara on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph says, Umiyaka Kia Gavna, in the Atania, Rab Lazar, Rab Tzadok, Shnei Maisen Hela, Abba, Metivin Liavna. Kemin Sa'aros Adumas, Tatil Lemayim, and Mimuchu Tmeya, Amre Shlakesh, Uve Parash. Good. So, the Chsam Sofer, Simen Kufnan Chesem Chaluk Beis, it's quoted here by the Pischei Tshuva, cites a question that the Tshuva Sarash has. Now, I'm going to read you how the Chsam Sofer quotes the Tshuva Sarash. We'll see, actually, that you could read the Rash differently. But first, we'll just say how the Chassam Sofer quotes it. The Chassam Sofer quotes the Rashi is asking the following Shaila. Vishal Chamin quotes Gemara Hikshar Rash. Mimal Nafshach Im Haminu Larof Im Lama Li Hatalas Mayim V'im Lo Haminu Lama Shalu. So the Gemara is very sure, says the Chassam Sofer. If you believe the Rofim, there's no need for the test. And if you don't need the Rofim, if you don't believe the Rofim, then why they bother asking? That's the Rosh's Kasha. And the Chassam Sofer says, I know the answer. The Rosh himself does not answer the question, but I know the answer. What's the answer? De'ein lismochal rofim al guf prati, ma shehem shaftu besichlam al guf zeh, aval heima ne'emanim bedvarim klalim, shehema mikubalim sheyesh kach b'kach la'olam. In other words, the doctors are believed that there's such a thing as a shuma b'makor, and that a shuma b'makor could produce blood. But they're not believed to say, this woman has a shuma b'makor. So they have ne'emanus in a general sense, but they have no ne'emanus about this particular case. And that's why there's value in asking the doctors, because the doctors tell us very important information that this concept exists. But even though the doctors here said, and she has that shuma b'makor, they're not believed until you have verification through this test. And as I said, this quoted over here, Pischei Tshuva, Sif Katan Lamed. Now, what's the chashash? L'chora, the chashash, according to some sofer, again, is not the ne'emanus of the rofe. Well, he has a sheet about that. We'll get to that later. But it's about refuah, chachmas ha-refuah, and the like. There are a number of questions on the Chassam Sofer from places in Shas where it does seem like we do trust Rofim. So sometimes we trust Rofim, like to eat on Yom Kippur or the like, but that doesn't prove anything because that might just be a suffix. The doctors say that she'll die if she doesn't eat. So even though we don't believe them, it at least creates a suffix, which would allow her to eat because of suffix or to be Mechal Shabbos or the like. But there are other Gemaras, as we'll see shortly, perhaps, that indicate that there's a more general ne'emanus for Rofim. Al Kopanim, if you actually look at the Tshuvas HaRash, Klal Bei Simen Yud Ches, he has the question a little differently than the way it's quoted. His lesson over there is, V'kashali, Kevin Shabam Machmas Maka Mai Tmeya, Ha'aminan B'Perkol Ayad, Ha'ro Adam Machmas Maka, Filu B'Tolchim Meini Das HaTorah, Divi Rabbi Yashbag Omer, Im Yesh Lavesh Chosh Lavesh, Do Masik, Do Guli Alme, Shatari Ravadam, De Kaasi derech makor pliti. Alma, afagav de adam bamin makor Torah, hoel ubamachmas maka. So it's not even clear that the answer the Chassam Sofer proposes would answer the way the Rush asked the question. Al kopanim, though this is the Shaila of the Rush, and in the Tshuvas HaRush we don't have an answer, we do have an answer in the Tosas HaRush over here. This Tshuvas HaRash was actually questions that he asked the Maharam in Lublin. So we have the questions, we don't know his answers. But in the Tosas HaRash, he gives us the answer. I don't know if this is the Maharam's answer to his question or his own answer, but he answers the question. I assume that the Tosas HaRash was not printed at the time that the Chassam Sofer was around, because then he would have cited his answer. But we do have an answer. The Rash himself answers his own question, but it's not the answer of the Chassam Sofer. Says the Tosas HaRash, if the Rofim would have said, yes, for sure, this woman has a maka, then they wouldn't have needed to experiment further. They would have trusted the Rofim, and that would have been that. Shem kena filim nimuchu Torah. Ela kacham rofim. Shema yesh leisha zu maka betoch mea. Hilkach yivadek adav al diatolas mayim. Meaning to say that this was all part of the Rofim statement. The Rofim said, maybe she has a maka here, so go ahead and do this experiment, and you'll be able to ascertain whether it's a maka or not. Now, the Chassam Sofer must be assuming that to be mater, you need definitive knowledge, which is actually a little bit interesting, because in the sugya of Rav Machmas Tashas, at the very least, we allow her to remain married, even though it seems like it's not 100% sure that the refuah works, because that's what it says, that if the doctor says it was cured and then it comes back, she then becomes asur after once. But al kapanim, that's what the Chassam Sofer is saying. But if you read the Gemara like the Rush, so then there's no raya to this question. And adarabba, the Rush assumes that there is credibility to Rofim in general. So we have here a machlokas between the Rush and the Chassam Sofer. The truth is, this seems to actually be a debate between the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe as well. Not over here, but in Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph. So over there, if you remember, we had that Tshuva Saran about Dam B'mei Raglayim, that fascinating Tshuva Saran, where there was a Chashash Maka. So the Beis Yosef says as follows, V'linira, debilav hanitami sharia isisa, that besides the reasons that the Ran gives, we could be matir this woman because the doctors tell us there's a makor. How do I know we listen to the doctors? Because behadia tanya per kama pelas, I'm Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok, shnei dvarim helu abba, mitivin liavna, mais bishachas shaisa ma pelas kamin kalipo saduma, suva gishalu esa abba, ve'abba l'chachamim l'cham l'rofim, ve'amru maka yesh l'abisoch me'ashem imanim apelas dam adumis, v'shuv ma'isa, etc., etc. Now, what did the Beis Yosef leave out from the citation of the story? Yes, the experimentation part, right? And then he goes on, he quotes the mice again. Adkan. He left out both lines from the Gemara. And says the Beis Yosef, the Taiman shall rofim bizah. This is for sure damaka, and therefore she's mutaras. In this case that the Ran's talking about, since it's known to the Rofim, the Beis Yosef says, we could prove from our Gemara that there's Nehmanus to the Rofin. Says the Darkei Moshe over there, Sifkatan Dalid, Tmihani Alav, Bezeh, Deharminan Begemar, Behedia, Delo, Samchinan Adifre Rofin, Lachod, Ela Bainan Gamkin Bedika, Bemain Poshrim, Gemoshin is Bar. That's why the Ran required these Bedikos. So what's the Machlokas? So what the Beis Yosef, either he had a different girsa and he was just missing those words, or he had them, but he thought they were inconsequential to this particular case because he was reading the Gemara like the Rush. How'd the Rush read that Gemara? That if the Rofim tell you you need to do a Bedika, so then you need to do Bedika. And if the Rofim tell you with certainty that this is a Maka, then you don't need to do a Bedika. So if you read the Gemara like the Rush, you could understand why, if the Beis Yosef is at least paraphrasing the Gemara, he left out that unessential information because that wasn't relevant to the case at hand. The case at hand, the doctors were saying this is a Maka. They weren't saying maybe it's a Maka. They were saying it is a Maka. So then you don't need any further experimentation. And what about the Ramah? Maybe the Ramah read the Gemara like the Chassam Sofer. Now, if you look at the Beda Kabbayis, the Beis Yosef is actually Mosif, for who Yishrim b'poshrim meis leis. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean he changed his mind and now he went over to the Chassam Sofer side? Or maybe just finished completing quoting the Gemara, but it doesn't seem like he has a totally different opinion at this point. So it would seem still that this machlokas, like we said, between the Rosh and the Chassam Sofer may be a debate between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. Now, there is a very fascinating Tshuvas Marsham, Chelak Aleph Simen Yud Gimel. It's a long tshuva. But he points out first he quotes that he basically is machav into the Tosfos HaRosh. He says, Tati l'mayim is medivei harofim, aval hecha de'en l'rofim safik samchin and alayu. Fine. And then later on, he says something quite fascinating, which is he says that actually, those lines of Tati Lamayim are Tau Sofer, and they don't belong here. And they're really part of a different story, and the Madfis put them over here incorrectly. And what's his Raya? Because if you look at the Tosefta, we have these statements, this Maisa, and it leaves out the Tati Lamayim. And also in Yerushalmi, it leaves it out. And it doesn't make sense why it would be necessary. And then he says that this is what they say from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner also said that this was a Tos Sofer. And now we could, he says, understand the Beis Yosef. Why did the Beis Yosef leave out those lines? Because they're a Tos Sofer. Okay, very good. This is from the exact citation. It is the Marsham Chelak Aleph Simon Yud Gimel. She quotes from Reb Chaim Volozhiner to that effect. Now, so then certainly you'd come out with the Beis Yosef's view, or the Rush's view, essentially, that there is Nemanus Lerofim, and this Gemara isn't saying anything else. It is sort of interesting, by the way, that's how he answers the Chassam Sofer's Kasha, and the Darkei Moshe's Kasha, and the Beis Yosef, and the like. Just an interesting Ha'ara, which is, if that is what Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, so he's taking the exact opposite approach of his Rebbe. The Gra, Kedarko Bakodesh, went ahead and he inserted the line into the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi based off the Bavli. Kedarko, to make everything consistent, but the Gra's Mahalich is always that the Bavli was the best preserved, and therefore it makes sense to correct the Tosefta in light of the Bavli, whereas Reb Chaim Volozhiner was correcting the Bavli in light of the Tosefta, maybe because he thought the story, it didn't make sense that way, but one way or the other, they're taking opposite approaches, which is sort of interesting. So that is one discussion. So like we've seen, it's a machlokas on many levels between the Rosh and the Chassam Sofer, Mechaber, the Ramah, et cetera, et cetera. And then again, maybe that is also the machlokas over here between the Ritzva and the Smag in Kuf Pei Zayin, Sif Chas. There's another Chassam Sofer, which brings us another reason why we shouldn't trust Chachmas HaRefu in general. It's interesting, he could have used this reason to answer the Gemara, but he doesn't. And that is the Chassam Sofer, also quoted over here in the Pesachei Tshuva, that maybe there is no ne'emanus to medical information in science when that information comes from non-Jews. Why would you say that? In other words, you can't extrapolate from non-Jews to Jews. The question essentially is, are Jews and non-Jews physiologically or anatomically identical, or are they different? Why would you say they're different? So there's really two Gemaras that might lead a person to this conclusion. One is Nidadaf Memhei Amid Aleph, Tana Rabbanan. Maisa biyustini bito shal asuirus ben antoninus shabasofne rabbi amralau rabbi isha bekamenesais amrala bashal shanam yomachat uvekamenesabaris. How old does a girl need to be in order to become pregnant? Amrala bas yud beis shanav yomachat amralau anina sasi b'sheis vialadati b'sheva ay l'shalosh shanim shavadati b'veis ava. So the Gemara says, is it right? And there's two possibilities. In other words, Jews aren't able to become pregnant until 12, but non-Jews are different. Alternatively, in other words, when she said, I got pregnant at the age of 6, she was lying. So at least, possibly, according to the first answer, we see that there is Jews and non-Jews maybe are not anatomically identical. There's another Gemara that might suggest this as well. That was Nida Daf Mem Hamid Aleph. This is Nida Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. By Rav Papa, Sheikh Vazar Shal Yisrael, B'mei Ovedes Kochavim, Ma'u B'toch Gimel. Now, as we know, that Shechva Zera is Nisrach after 3 onos, or 3 days. And now the question is that only when the Shechva Zera is in a Jewish Me'ayim, or even in a non-Jewish? So, lo kami b'ayla l'rav papa, ki yomi b'ayla l'ach, or shalshamai, Yisrael, did daigi b'mitzvah l'schadal l'ufayu masyach? Maybe. The reason why it spoils after 3 days so quickly by a Jew is because they're daigos b'mitzvos. Odichon lo daigi b'mitzvos, lo chavel gufayu, v'lo yves riach odilma, kem adach lishkaz ma'amasim, chavel gufayu, or maybe it does, because they shkaz ma'amasim, kumas riach teiku. So at least we have a suffix. Here it's not necessarily that they're anatomically or physiologically different, but it's they don't worry as much. But be that as it may, here we have two possibilities of there being a different, if you hold like the second if you only brought the second raya, maybe it wouldn't apply to a Jew that isn't shomer Torah mitzvos. Al kol panim, if you look at the Pesachei Tshuva over here, Sif Katan Lamed Ches, he quotes in Chassam Sofer, Simin Kuf Ayin Hey, who says, Dehotzvach Lomar Hacha, Lomar Sha'asa Refuazu Isha Achas Kodem Shetischase, the law have a by lemay my master if was ulo vedis kochav in baser shlosha pa'amim mishum den raya miguvam shalahem lagufam shalanu kidamina b'shabes de inhu achli shkatzim b'chulei. So the Chassam Sofer says maybe if in light of these sources you can't extrapolate from one to the other. Okay. So that's a shaila. So now let's talk about the general na'amanus issue of a particular doctor. So this is dealt with as well in the Beis Yosef over here, as we saw the Ritzva quoted by the Beis Yosef. Says there is Ne'amanus, but only to a Yisrael. He says, and this is a citation from the Beis Yosef, Aval ein biyadi lahatir al pi dibur gai, afil berofe mamchal rabim, lomar nafshe, de karinan behu, asher piyam diber shav. Umihu, if it's supported, in tira ha'isha shepasak dam, vesta beri'ya al yidei refuos, V'nikr shau ilu neradiyesh l'smoch al hagai. So, at least he holds that without corroboration, there is no general ne'amanus. So, here too, there's a tshuva v'cham v'chsam sofer, chelik besim and kuf melches, and others as well, who deal with this question b'arichos. I think we're not going to go into the details. There's also another Kavain Hay also over there, Mechsam Sofer, and really very long Chuvos. I think maybe we'll just skip for this to Rav Moshe. So I'll read to you. Rav Moshe has a couple of Chuvos on this, but the one I'm going to read to you from is Yordei Chelek Dalet Simon Yud Zayin, who sort of summarizes the Klalim. Le'inyan smichos al harofe be'etzem lo kasavti sham. So the Shoel must have assumed that he talked about this elsewhere, and he says, no, I didn't talk about it there where you said, but I did talk about it over here. And he says, sha'afim ne'ma kisfas achsam sofer, even if we were to accept the achsam sofer, sha'arofe inu ne'man lahayt al guf zeh be'uvda ha'hi. In that case, what's that case? Where the doctor looked with an instrument, so then the Chassam Sofer is irrelevant, and therefore Yishlamino. Why? Because the Chassam Sofer, as I said, is talking about a case where the doctor, without looking at her, says, oh, based off of what you describe, I could tell you she has a makkah. And then the Chassam Sofer says, there's no nemanus about a guf prati. But let's say the doctor's actually looking. That's different. Then Rav Moshe writes, Yeshlamino, me'achad chazinan. And then he says as follows. Then he says, or in this case, where the doctor predicted something would happen even before it happened, that's another reason to believe him. Why? Me'achad chazinan, shahasharaso haisa emes, bezesh amr shabade tiradam, machmasa instrument, lesofa sar yamim, shalachain, unaman gam bamesh amar shadam ya. Min ha-prusdor. It says, make sure that what they call prusdor is the same thing as our prusdor. And then he just adds, aval ha-emes ladina mistaber kedekasa kvo terasso. So even though what you said, I said, I didn't say, but I think you're right anyway. Shenidme la-deha af she'en ha-rofe ne'man k'shomer al-guf prati. Even though we accept the Chassam Sofer, it sounds like he assumes we do. Yekol malkom vadeh safek ha-ve b'shul darav. When he says that this is what it is. It's at least a safek. If it wasn't a safek, why do you believe them to be Machal Shabbos? And therefore, Shalachain, Kevan, She'enu, Chiddush, Gadol, Shemaka, She'esh, Ba'osu, Makum, Yotzi, Dam. So this guy, the doctor said, we know there's a Makkah. How do you know there's a Makkah? Because he could see it. And as we said, even the Chasam Sofer would agree that if it's something that you could see, there is Nemanos. So therefore, we know there's a Makkah, and he says it's Motzi Dam. It makes sense that we'd believe him. The Chayin Mashi Yesh Makkah, who Harbe Pa'amim Nira Mamish L'Rofe, certainly Al Yedei Shemarchiv Ksas HaMakom U'Mashkif, Al Yedei Mashkif, V'Gam Al Yedei Zemar Sassis L'Kach, Shuriya Mamish, Lo Be'Hasharas Chachmas O'Levad. And if it's Riya Mamish, not Hasharas HaChachma, then the Chasam Sofer is irrelevant. Avol Yesh Chiluk, Delinian Shemakom Motzi Dam, Yesh Laminu Gam Bisvara. So if he says Misvara, that's Motzi Dam, we should believe him. Because it's reasonable, makes sense. Linian Shiesha Makkah, but if we don't know that there's even a Makkah at all, so then it depends. If he says a Besvara, we can't believe him, even though he's a Mumcha. But if that Avak Shomer Shiroa Mamish Ayde Mashim Mashkif Sham, then he's believed. Afshastam Enchilo Yeroklum. But he says, one second, why are you believing him? Maybe because it's just anyone could see it, but nobody else. Like a non-doctor could look at this and they wouldn't see anything. So do mishum shen yodim eich tzarach lios. That's not a reyesa. The only reason why other people can't see it is because they don't know what it's supposed to look like in the first place. Bein mevinim sheyesh sham shinoi. Avla rovim sheyodim eich tzarach lios. Verovim eich shebezat ikka shinoi bein mara vein ovi hamakom. Hu ri'iya pshuta lefneim b'yishlaminam lo rak shen shomrei Torah. And therefore, if they're saying there's ri'iya, we should believe them, even if they're not from el afilu shem shomrei Torah, afilu nachrim, wide lomarim nasayu. So according to Rav Moshe, we do apply this farah of omen lomarim nasayu b'kach. So, and you know, what comes out from this tshuva at least is that we're willing to accept the physician's claims that the blood that's found is from a wound, if either A, we know beforehand that there's a wound, B, the physician actually sees the wound, or C, the physician predicted that it would be bleeding, and then it happened as he predicted. That's if he isn't Jewish. And the reason is because Lomar Umnase Bekach. Yeah, sure, you had a question?
Yeah, I'm sort of addressing the third point, but I was wondering how we assess like different forms of medical imaging, because like some of them involve more Jara in how actually calling this Abriya.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it would sort of depend on how much Hashara it is. The general principles you see from Rav Moshe, but obviously in particular applications, there might not be a clear-cut answer. If you take a look at the Nishvas Avram, he has, as you might expect, a long piece on this with many, many tshuvos. Sort of interesting, an interesting ally for the Chasam Sofer's approach is in Rav Kook. Rav Kook basically also says, especially if a doctor says something isn't dangerous, it just creates a suffix because how could you say it? The Rav Kook has a tshuva about mitzitza, where he says, well, Achadim said it was dangerous, and doctors said, we never saw that it's dangerous, but in suffix motzim de vadai, even if, so we listen, it's a suffix what they say. So you could be eat on Yom Kippur, but you can't ignore something that the Gemara says. In the end of the day, he basically goes ahead, and there's also other articles on it. It comes down to, going back to our general question about refuah, what does the poskim say? So the poskim fall into three schools of thought. I'll summarize the shitos. I didn't see them all inside. The first school of thought is Chasam Sofer, Noda B'Yuda, Panim Iros, that Ne'amanus HaRofim is Betar Safek, and therefore it's only when there's Raglayim Ladavar that it's Nemana Betar Svadai. That's how they understand the Gemara. So when they said there's a Makkah there, the Rofim, they made that a Safek. And then when Tati Lamayim, that made it into a Vadai. Could be when you see it, it's different. Like we said, Makkah Chitzona or something that you're able to see, that would be different. But when it comes to something that you can't see, so then it's Tar Safek, not Tar Svadai. Then we have the Maram Milublin, which Chasam Sofer didn't like, the Maram Shik, the Radvaz. I think Rosh Hashanah quoted that Maram Shik. And they all say no, that there is Ne'amanus to Rofim B'Toras Rov. So if you could check, then you should check. And that's the Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, they read the Gemara like the Chasam Sofer, not like the Rosh. That the doctor said there's a Makkah. Oh, so why are you checking? Because it's a Rov. And therefore, Esher Levar Tzarech Levar. But if it's the Esher Levar, then we would believe them. So you could have the same reading of the Chasam Sofer without his conclusion. what quite as far. And then the third school of thought, which is the Pashtus and the Beis Yosef, the Marik, the Marsham, Tosfos and the Rosh, is that there is Ne'emanus L'Rofim, B'Toras Vatai. So what are the nafgaminas? So when it comes to Chol Shabbos, obviously L'Kuli Alma, we're going to be follow what they say, because they're not. That's not going to be nafgamina, because whether it's a Suffolk or Rof or a Vadai, we're going to be Machal Shabbos. When it comes to Yisur and Shalom B'Mokom Pikuach Nefesh, like Nida, so that's where there's a debate. If you hold their Neman B'Toras Vadai, the third school of thought, then you would accept it. If you hold the first school of thought without verification, you wouldn't accept it unless it's something that you could see. And if you hold the middle school of thought, so then we would be Mevarer, well, we could be Mevarer. And if we can't, we can't. Okay. So maybe we'll stop here. And what's next? Kuf Pei Vav, right? B'siyata Dishmaya. You know, these things, we're going to start picking up the pace in terms of Simanim. They don't, they're going to go much quicker. That's the session. Okay. Shkayach.